Welcome to History Here and Now. I'm Thomas, the voice inside your podcast machine, and today is a great day to learn about history. The History Here and Now podcast is dedicated to bringing you great stories from the past. Here we talk about people, places, events, culture, and practically every other facet involved with history. Does it sound complicated? Well, history is just that complicated, but it doesn't have to be. I'm here to help break things down and make history more fun, so let's get started. Now, for today's podcast episode, I want to do something a little different, something that doesn't really focus on just a specific individual or historical event or any kind of trend of any sort. But I kind of want to focus on a smaller facet that has to, you know, deal with part of the larger part of, you know, United States military history. You know, we always hear people talking about the, you know, different tactics and strategies and technologies and the evolution of, you know, the American military machine. But I want to focus on one thing that's kind of a smaller subset, you know, within military history, but it also reflects the growing changes and evolution of, you know, the United States Armed Forces, and that has to do with their military medals and awards and decorations. Now, I know starting at first, it sounds like it might be getting into, you know, very technical aspects, but, you know, in many ways, and of course, in my current job experience as a technician with the National Personnel Records Center, which is a division of the National Archives, you know, I've come to really appreciate, you know, the history behind these medals, what they mean, because it not only does reflect the, of course, obviously, you know, the changing priorities and the different campaigns and, you know, conflicts that were going on at the time, but they also, I think, reflect the larger part of, you know, what the defense industry or what the United States military is undergoing at that time and what their priorities are. And so for today's episode and for a lot of future episodes, if you pull off from my website, History Here and Now, you'll see I have numerous articles about different military medals and awards. And the podcast series will be an accompaniment to that as well, talking about the evolution of such awards and, you know, how they are fitting today, and also importantly, how veterans can get replacements of those medals whenever they ask for them. And so we're going to dive into today's episode with that in mind. So being also a film buff that I have been, if you haven't picked that up from previous episodes yet. So if you remember from the 1970 film Patton, you know, everyone thinks of George C. Scott, who plays the titular character. He stands up and clicks his heels and salutes as the bugler sounds off the Third Army call. And in multiple camera shots, you see the general coated in numerous awards, decorations, badges, a lot of them being, you know, foreign awards. People have always had a fascination in seeing like these big, brightly colored ribbons and bars, and they see it as a sign as an accomplished veteran. Now, those awards are kept with people, you know, throughout their lifetime. But as we all know, there are, you know, uncertainties in life. Things get lost in move or natural disaster, pay on our valuables, or simply they're lost to time and can't be found again. So, but fortunately, the National Archives and Records Administration, or NARA, they provide a valuable service to veterans along with giving them access to their records, and that's requesting their service awards and decorations. Now, today's podcast will focus a little bit on the history of it, but also focus on how the rewards process works with the Department of Defense and how veterans, you know, once they're discharged, can get copies of these, you know, or replacements of these medals. So now we know that there is a large marketplace for picking up, you know, older, you know, military medals and awards. I mean, if you go to any like Army Navy store, Army Surplus, you know, antique stores, you know, you'll see, you know, a lot of them laying around. But they're not; these aren't just like little trinkets. These are signs of accomplishments or dedicated service from veterans that have done their part in serving their country, whether it was through duration of a contract or through an actual conflict, and these have been an integral part of their identity. Now, the Department of Defense and the Armed Services, they all have specific criteria on who and what is eligible for receiving veterans awards. And because that criteria is so varied and so lengthy, this is going to be the first part of several episodes on how veterans can request awards from each of the service branches. Now, we'll look at the research process, the determination of awards, decorations, and badges. And because they're, like I said, there are a plethora of vendors selling them, but requesting them through the National Personnel Records Center and getting them from NARA is a real bona fide way of making sure that veterans are getting the authentic and correct awards. Now, we've heard of the two different acts of legislation called, commonly referred to as Stolen Valor. You know, legislation on that has changed over the years where, you know, if veterans falsely claim they received an award or trying to, you know, get benefits because they had things like a Purple Heart or, you know, anything higher in order of precedence. Now, because that can be an issue sometimes, or if you're trying to, if you are doing things like background research on veterans where they're claiming service that they actually haven't been or claiming awards they weren't actually entitled to. So the NPRC has a way of verifying all this information. Now, military decorations can be broken down into following categories. You have personal decorations, and these are awards for gallantry, distinguished service, heroism, commendation, achievements, and of course, meritorious service. These will be things like a Purple Heart, you know, Distinguished Service Cross, or the Legion of Merit, or an Army Commendation Medal, or the Silver Star. You know, a lot of the ones you'll see for those who have, you know, they say they have uncommon gallantry or conspicuous gallantry. Then you have unit awards. These are given to all members of a military unit that participated in action within a certain time. These are things like a Presidential Unit Citation, Meritorious Unit, Outstanding Unit Award, those sort of things. Service awards are given to those with exemplary actions and personal achievement during active duty service. So these will be things like an achievement medal or efficiency awards. So these will be things that you do, chief for actions, that or good conduct medals. Now, campaign awards are given to those who actually participate in a designated military action within the duration of a campaign. So the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal and the European African Middle Eastern Medal from World War II. You have the Korean Korean Service Medal, the Vietnam Service Medal, Southwest Asia Service Medal for Desert Storm, you know, things of that nature. You also have training ribbons awarded to individuals excel in basic training courses or they graduate from training schools. So the Air Force has the basic training badge. The Army Service Ribbon is sometimes considered a training ribbon. And then you have the big marksmanship badges, which are awards given to those based on proficiency with a variety of weapons. So you'll see a lot of these with the Army and also with the Marine Corps. You'll have the things they'll say expert in marksman or sharpshooter, and they have all these bars showing all the different weapons they've used. Now, requesting medals through the National Personnel Records Center ensures that a veteran can receive all medals they're entitled to, as they could be the recipient of a retroactive award. So, for example, service members who served in Korea since 1954 are eligible for the Korea Defense Service Medal, which was established in 2002. And since the United States has a president in South Korea for the last, you know, over 70 years, that's a lot of retroactive medals. Unlike most requests for military records, medals requests are only allowed by the veteran, spouse, and next of kin. So, for example, you know, just anyone off the street, John Q. Public, can't write in asking for their friend, you know, Sergeant John Doe's medals as a surprise birthday gift. As, you know, as sweet as that would be and awesome as that would be, it'll get denied, you know, faster than an overdrawn debit card. They just won't even look at it. So it's always make sure that if you're going to order these medals for the NPRC, you always want to have a family member take care of it. Now, once the request is submitted, what happens then? Okay, now you have signed it off and it's gone off into this giant, you know, government ether, you know, the cloud, as some people might think. And what happens then? Well, NARA technicians research the record by looking at specific documents listing awards. The most common one will be the discharge document called the DD Form 214, as veterans will always attest to. That's what they will always need. A DA-20, which is kind of like a list of personnel achievements. You'll have general orders, citations, any kind of document showing that this person earned an award. Now, additionally, the National Archives cross-checks the veteran service dates and foreign service against lists of UNIS awards to see if they're available. So the Department of Defense maintains these massive unit awards lists that have been going on, going back to pretty much since World War II. Now, these lists break down everything by division, battalion, regiment, company. So reviewing these documents can be time consuming. I mean, if you think about all the different units that have existed since, the massive expansion of the United States Armed Forces since World War II, it's a lot of material. The payoff, though, is entirely worth it, as the veteran can get every decoration and award they're entitled to for sure. In those cases, when there's a problem verifying a medal, or the veteran claims they're awarded a certain, certain one, but they can't actually say it was in there, the service branch has the final say in such a matter. Now, when the research is done, the information is submitted to the appropriate service branch for verification. Now, NARA doesn't actually manufacture the medals. We don't have them in a big vault in any of their buildings. They don't have them laying around in their offices. They don't manufacture them. They don't put them together. They don't do any of that. The National Archives and the NPRC only supplies the information to the service branch. Now, along with the medals, the ribbons, on top of them, you have these items that are called appurtenances. Now, you've probably seen them on some decorations. These are small bronze, silver, or gold shapes that are fixed on the ribbons and medals to indicate multiple issues of said award, because you can earn the same thing more than once, with the exception of the Medal of Honor, which is only given once, but that rule changed in the early 20th century. So there is evidence of a person receiving the Medal of Honor a couple of times, but those are very small individuals, but we don't have time to get into that today. So these include, but are not limited to, the following. Oak leaf clusters. These are placed on personal awards like a Purple Heart or Achievement Medal or a Commendation. If a veteran was wounded twice, they could receive the Purple Heart, and they put a bronze oak leaf cluster on there. These indicate one award, and silver ones indicate issuance of five. So if you earned a Purple Heart five times, which, unlucky to be you, or actually if you earned it six times, you'd get one for the ribbon, and the other five would be on a silver oak leaf. Now, service stars, those indicate the time spent in a campaign in a hostile area. So, for example, if a veteran served in Iraq or Kuwait between August 1990 and April 1991, they received two bronze stars on their Southwest Asia Service Medal, because each one of the stars represents a set time period. Now, that's really important to know when you're trying to fulfill a request for veterans' records, because how long they are in an area determines how many stars they get. Now, numerals are another appurtenance. Similar to the oak leaf, numerals are used to indicate multiple issuance of a specified award. Now, this is really common with things like the Air Medal, where back before, prior to and leading up to Vietnam, they used oak leaves, but then they switched over to numbers. Then you have what's called a V device. V devices indicate acts of valor during combat. If a veteran acted with valor during combat and was awarded a Bronze Star Medal, these can also receive the additional V device. Now, how they go about judging what a V device, goes on to a certain personal award, that's up to the discretion of the officers who are awarding it. Then you have sometimes that are loops. Now, loops are interesting because they're only used on the Good Conduct Medal. They have bronze ones, silver ones, and even gold ones. And loops are interesting because, like I said, they're the only ones that are used on that medal. Then you have, finally, an arrowhead device. Now, arrowheads are probably considered one of the rarer appurtenances, because these are awards to service members who are, participate in the first assault, jump, or first landing, amphibious landing into a hostile area. So, for example, if you knew someone, so if a person was one of those who landed on the beaches of Normandy on D-Day, which is the beginning of that campaign, they would get an Arrowhead device. Or if you were one of the, if they were one of those who, you know, jumped into Afghanistan in 2002, right, you know, following September 11th, they would get an Arrowhead device as well, because they are the front of the assault. They are the tip, hence what's called the Arrowhead. Now, awards aren't only for gallantry, heroism, personal achievement, but they're also for marksmanship abilities. And these go back to the weapons badges I mentioned earlier. Each service branch uses a system evaluating a person's proficiency with a weapon and is given a corresponding badge. There are three commonly used levels. You have marksman, sharpshooter, and expert. Underneath that is a small bar reflecting the type of weapon that a proficiency level. If a soldier scores high enough with marks with an M16 or a 45 caliber pistol, they receive that badge and a rifle and pistol bar attachments. Now, commonly, veterans request their medals for personal usage. These are things like creating a shadow box. They want to pass them down to their children or their grandchildren. In addition, veterans routinely request their awards upon hearing that they qualify for things which are retroactively. And this is one of the more common things that more common requests that'll go through the NPRC. They hear that they're eligible for a medal because they heard, you know, guys in their local VFW or American Legion said, "Hey, I got the, hey, guess what? I found out I qualified for the Korea Defense Service Medal, so everyone else should have one. Or if you can prove you're in Korea, you should have one." Now, this happens a lot when they, you know, of course, like I said, they create a new award. And so when they meet that eligibility, there's a flood of them. A good example of this is the issuance of the Bronze Star Medal to World War II veterans. But if a veteran received a combat infantryman badge or CIB while serving in a theater of operations during World War II, they're immediately eligible for a Bronze Star. Now, as the World War II generation continues to shrink daily, more and more medals requests like these are becoming commonplace. Another routinely requested award is the Combat Action Ribbon for Navy and Marine Corps service members. The Department of the Navy maintains a strict accounting of every ship and Marine Corps unit that engages in combat, and when these letters are updated, veterans apply and see if they're eligible for a CAR. The Combat Action Ribbon was created in 1969, but it's made retroactive to all those who served in World War II in Korea, and so this is another very commonly retroactively requested award. Now, taking a breather, this all seems really overwhelming, doesn't it? Well, the process seems daunting on the surface, but the real nitty-gritty occurs with the technicians who need to be 100% accurate in their research. Now, they're not just the NAR technicians, but also the service members who service branches who verify and approve the information. Now, all it takes is one mistake or miscommunication to render a veteran's award application ineligible. So if they think that they are truly, truly eligible for it, but you just can't find that information, then unfortunately, you know, that's the end of the road. And that's why it's so terribly important to be as detailed and truthful through every stage of the medals process. Now, this has been a basic, and I mean very basic, introduction to U.S. military awards and decorations. And for a lot of more information, each of the service branches have different heraldry offices for the armed forces. You can find one with Army TACCOM, the Air Force and their personnel center in Colorado. And then for the Navy Marine Corps, they have their personnel center in Millington, Tennessee. So all these locations and offices have websites on how a veteran can verify their medals award information, or if they have questions about certain medals, they can go there. They can either apply to them directly, or they can go through the National Personnel Records Center to see if they have their record with them and can send their award request that way. Now, future episodes are going to look exclusively at Army, or exclusively at medals in the different service branches. This will include Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard. We'll look at how they can request them, see how they've changed the United States' involvement in global conflicts, and more importantly, make sure that every veteran can receive the medals they're entitled to because of the sacrifices and time that they have committed to doing their patriotic duty and serving our country. I really hope you enjoyed that story, because History Here and Now is a website dedicated to the research and writing about different historical topics. And if you like this podcast, hit the like button, share it on social media, and recommend it to your friends, families, colleagues, anyone you think would enjoy a good discussion. You can follow History Here and Now on Twitter and check back periodically for the next episode. And until then, good luck, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. We'll